Just got a quick note here. Third quarter score. Pittsburgh 23, Buffalo 7. One of the more losers in the Super Bowl, for Christ's sakes. Well, we have no opinion on outside issues. Well, now that I've got you in the house, how am I going to keep you there? Now that we've built this foundation and put this little structure up around us and we got safe and warm and we're sitting by the fire, how are we going to stay here? Well, I think maybe Bill pondered that too. And so he gave us, and I don't really like that phrase, but I don't know of a better way to say it. He gave us a set of actions that would renew or remind us of the things that we've done. Now, when you get to step 10, and you get to step 11, and you get to step 12, to me, when I read these steps, there is almost an insinuation that something has happened as a result of doing certain things. Now, it's not beyond the realm of possibility to believe that if nothing happened, nothing's happened. Is that heavy? If nothing's happened, nothing's happened. So if we haven't done anything, nothing is supposed to happen to us down here. I mean, how can you continue to take a personal inventory when you ain't done one in the first place? It's awful hard to continue something you ain't done. That's another one of those deep philosophical phrases that I throw out from time to time. They just kind of go, oh! And when I'm wrong, I promptly admit it. Promptly means a lot of different things to a lot of people. Promptly, some people mean next month, next year maybe, or when I get around to it. But I, over a period of years, have built up a very low tolerance of pain. Very low. I mean, I just, you know, it just bothers me something terrible when I do something or say something or offend somebody. It just did it to me. It just a very low tolerance of pain. So it becomes a necessity for me to get rid of it as promptly as I possibly can. And I usually mean promptly. Promptly to me means when I can no longer stand the pain. When it's excruciating. When I can't stand the discomfort. That means promptly to me, I got to go clear up the wreckage of whatever I created. Basically, we're talking about the wreckage of the present now, which we all create. It's impossible to continue to take personal inventory. In the book Alcoholics Anonymous, it says about step 10, back here on page 84. Listen to what it says here. This is the middle of page 84. It says, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests that we continue to take personal inventory and to continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. That, I guess that obviously means we're going to make mistakes. So for you who have been driven as white as snow up to this point, I'm sorry to yank the stool out from underneath you. Mistakes are coming. So stay in here. Don't go out in the snow. We vigorously commit this way of living as we cleaned up the past. What'd I tell you? The promises come after the nine steps. The promises comes up after we've cleaned up the past. We do not live in the wreckage of the past. It's debilitating, it's resentful, and it's dangerous for people like me. It says we start this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. The world of the Spirit. We've been talking about some type of a spiritual uplifting here. Our next function, here we are now. We're in the house, right? We're sitting there with the shoes off, fire's on, we're warm, happy. Little children playing under the Christmas tree, snatching presents, having a good time. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. That's our next function. To grow in understanding and effectiveness. It's not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Huh? Continue for a lifetime? That means you're all still sick. You're sick. You ain't well. It's because you don't drink no more. This way of living should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And here's the line that separates us from every other single spiritual movement that's been destroyed in the face of the earth. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone. Line, another thought, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor, and if tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. We will find that this has happened automatically. Not because I've done anything, but because I've worked for it. It's happened automatically. As a result, something's happened to me. Not through my own wishes, not what I have pictured it to be, not what I have dreamed up to be, not what I have worked toward or strived to get. Something's happened to me automatically. It's just come automatically. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I didn't have a damn thing to do with what's happened to me automatically. How's that? For an egotistical driven jerk like me. I ain't got nothing to do with it, nothing whatsoever. The Father does His work, I am only His servant. That's all. The Father does His work through me. Dr. Bob said that. We will see that a new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. How many times do you hear these people say, I'm working this out there, man. I'm working on that. That ain't what this book says. Through no thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. It's amazing. We are not fighting it, and neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we are placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. I don't do this stuff to stay sober anymore. It said the problem has been removed, so we're not in the problem no more. Where are we at? We're not in the problem no more now. Where are we? I can't hear you. Yeah, that's it. We're in the solution. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous is. The problem is gone. We are in the solution. We don't sit around here and dwell in the problem. We don't. That's what all the other outside things do. They work on the problem. Here, we live in a solution. That's what makes Alcoholics Anonymous so uniquely wonderful to people like me and you. We sit around here and live in a solution. We share our experience, strength, and hope with one another, how we got from point A to point B, and we don't sit there and, well, goddammit, I was bad, bad, and bad. Bad, bad, and bad. Bad, bad, and bad. I'm still bad, and I'm always going to be bad, but I'm bad, 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 bad. And as a result of that, my car broke down today. Had a tough time today. Went to work. Jesus. Newcomer sitting back there and saying, screw this. I've had that before I got here, baby. I don't need any of that. Step into that stuff again? No. Hey, I know how you feel, kid. come on up here and walk with us. If I offend you, I'm sorry. It says in this thing here, another one of them promises. Now we're in step 10, and we're going to get another promise. This one you may not like. It says it's easy to let up on a spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We're not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Nine steps. Built the house, built the foundation, put the shelter up, sit by the fire. We're living under some type of a spiritual condition. We have lost interest in selfish things and gained interest in our fellows. That's a spiritual condition. Every day, this day, every day, that means this day, not 35 years ago or 30 years ago or last month or last week, what I did. This day is the day where we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. Remember what I told you about the waitresses, about the people on the highway, about the retail clerks, about the children, about the wives? That's activities. Alcoholics Anonymous is just an hour and a half, 2 hours. We all act a little better here. Well, some of us do. So we got all ready. How can I best serve thee? That's the prayer. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are the thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. Now, this is the only place where you can have willpower. It is the proper use of the will. Thy will be done, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine. That's my willpower. Thy will be done, not mine. We are carefully following direction, we will see that the sense of flow of His Spirit into us. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy in this matter of prayer. Better men than you and I are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite suggestions. It says here, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours a day. I woke up this morning, read my 24-hour day book, which is non-AA literature. Sorry, God. I read what I told you I read every morning, third step prayer, 6 and 7. I read what I'm into right now, 84, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I knew what I was going to do today. Woke, I knew exactly. I was going to get up and take a shower. I was going to go down and meet Gene and my host, and we were going to have some coffee and some juice, and we were going to come over here and see a lot of old friends, and we were going to try to go through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous without offending too many people. And God, that's, before we begin the day, we ask God to direct our thinking. Here we are in prayer again. Especially asking for it to be divorced from self-pity, which is depression, dishonesty, or self-seeking motives. The whole program of Alcoholics Anonymous, to me, is designed to squeeze me right out of me. That's all it's designed for. It's just to whittle me down and squeeze me right out of me, to make me nothing at all but putty in God's hands. That's all. That's what it's designed to do. It isn't designed to make me more spiritual than anybody else, or more wonderful, or more godlike than anybody else. It's designed just to squeeze me out of myself, 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 so I don't destroy me, because I'm capable of it. It says this over and over. They say we don't struggle. What used to be a hunch or an occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. It says, being still inexperienced and have just made conscious contact with God, it's not probable that we're going to be inspired at all times. God, isn't that amazing? We're just not wandering around inspired all the time. Sometimes we say, oh, I have to do that crap and make that coffee tonight. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Like relationships. Oh, shit. I'm going to stay home with her tonight. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. What they're telling you here is how to pray. That's all. They're giving you a whole new way of living. They're going to tell you how to pray and how to keep it. What type of prayer? And all I can see in this prayer and meditation, all I can see is thought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. That's an assumption that I have created some type of a conscious contact with God. That's all that says. It doesn't say I've been blessed or showered as I understood Him. God, what a great freedom that is, as I understand God, my very own God. Man, what kind of a deal is that? That's the best deal I ever heard about. I don't have to have your God. You don't have to have mine. I don't have to have a religiosity God. I don't have to go find one in a church, although he must be there too. People find him there. I get a chance to have my very own God. God of my understanding. The God that's described himself through this book called Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm only praying what it says, but I'm praying. What am I praying for? I'm praying knowledge for his will for us. And the power, what am I asking for? Just the power to carry out his will. That's all. What's God's will for me? Be happy, joyous, and free, I guess. To act like one of his children? God, I don't have the power to do that. So I get the power to carry it out from him by asking for it. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened. That's another verse out of the Bible. Knock and it shall be opened. One of my favorite, I don't know whether you've ever seen it or not. My favorite picture of all time is a picture of Jesus Christ standing at a gate. He's got his fist like this, and he's going to knock at the gate. And when he looked at the guy that he painted, that was painted for, the guy looked at the picture, he told the artist, the damn thing ain't done yet. And the guy said, what do you mean it's not done? He says, there's no knob on the door. He says, oh. He said, that's the door to the human heart. It's got to be opened from within. Now we're getting deep. So what have we done so far? We've sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. That's the assumption that we have some type of a conscious contact with a God. As we understood him, as you understand God, whatever you understand. And we're only praying for his knowledge of his will for me. And the power to carry it out. The power to carry it out. So I'm going to be given, if I do these things, a power today to carry out God's will for me in this life, even though I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'm not big enough to be able to analyze the mind of God or what he assumes for me to do or what his will for me is today or his will for you today. I'm not that smart or that big. And frankly, I wouldn't want a God that was that small for a sicko like me to analyze him, I'll tell you that. I want a God that I just go along and do what it says. Pray the knowledge of his will for me, even though I don't know what it is. Now see what blind faith this is? I gotta go out there and don't know what's happening, but it's fine. You know, somebody's always saying to you, what's happening? I say, I don't know. But I'm looking for the power. I got the power. Yeah, they think you're on speed or something. What? Yeah. Basically, that's what it is. You ever hear these kids say, what's happening, man? What's happening? They say, I don't know, baby, but I'm looking for power. I got the power. This is a promise. I've got a power. I'm seeking through something. I'm getting quiet, shutting off my mind. I'm praying, and I'm getting the power. God, what a great promise that is. I am getting a power to be happy, joyous, and free, to walk through life easy. a power. Just walk through life easy. Know that I'm not responsible for anything. I'm not responsible for the results of nothing. I'm only responsible for my actions. If it turns out crappy, it's because I took crappy actions. Not because God was trying to teach me a lesson. I've got the power. All I got to do is walk in the road. The book says take the action. Give me the power. I take the action, I get the power. Don't know what the results are going to be. Who cares? I'm just trying to get through the day anyhow. So, tomorrow, start all over again. The 12th step knocks me out. I love the 12th step. Remember when I talked to you earlier this morning about rolling over Dr. Young in Switzerland? And Dr. Young said to him, the only chance you have, people like you have, is some type of a spiritual experience. Right? It's in our literature. 12 Steps says something like that. Having had. Having had. That's something's happened. Maybe it wasn't boom, but maybe you know you're walking in the power. Having had. Something's happened to me. Why? Something has happened having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Now, I know that's tricky and deep. But some people say, what? That doesn't mean what it said. Why not? If that's not a promise, I'll kiss your fanny right up here on the table. Break it down. I'll kiss. That's a promise. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics. This message. What's the message? Something has happened to me as a result of these steps. Call it a spiritual awakening, a new way of living, call it anything you want to think of, but something has happened to me as a result of these steps. Nothing is going to happen to me if I haven't taken those steps. I don't care what your counselor says, or anybody else, or any of these fools who hang around these programs and say, you don't have to take them steps. Don't drink, your ass falls off. I'll drink a long time before my ass falls off. I don't like pain. Something has happened to me. That's why I don't drink anymore. That's why I don't go out and create mayhem on people, places, and things in the world anymore. Something has happened to me. What has happened to me, I can't explain. I only know it's a result of these steps, because it's the only thing I have done on a continuing basis. The only thing I have ever done perfect in my life is this. I haven't taken a drink of alcohol or a mood-altering chemical in over 36 years. The rest of it's suspect. But that's perfection. For the first 27 years of my life, I could not keep from drinking. I had to drink. I was powerless not to drink. I had to drink to live. And yet for the last 36 years of my life, something has happened to me. Or I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be sober. And what has happened to me is a result of these steps. Nothing else. Something has happened to me, and that's the message I want to carry to you. As a result of these steps, something has happened to me. I live a good life. I live without the aid of any type of medication whatsoever, even though the medical profession says I can't. I live without any long, prolonged periods of depression. I live in a world where I go to work. I am a useful, productive citizen of society, and I am of use to God and to my fellows as a result of these steps, not as a result of anything else, not as a result that I'm one of God's chosen people, or not a result of anything else. That's my message. That's what this message is. So the next time you go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and some fool gets up there and starts talking about all these other outside issues, he ain't talking about AA. AA is the 12th step in action. Something has happened to me as a result of doing these things. If I haven't done them, they ain't going to happen. If you haven't done them, they ain't going to happen to you either. Sorry. That is, if you're alcoholic. If you're not alcoholic, what the hell difference does it make? You can do anything if you're not alcoholic. You can be just as screwed up as we are, but you don't have to drink to live. People as screwed up as me have to drink to preserve my sanity. Unless I find some power or some way of living where it is necessary for me to seek that relief constantly. I cannot live in a world full of resentments and anger and indifference for any period of time without seeking relief from it. I can't. I'm sorry. I've proved it time and time. The book says I can't, and I've come to believe I can't either. I can't do that. I can't live in a world where I approve of everything that goes on in the world. But I tell you what I can do. I can live in a program of recovery called Alcoholics Anonymous that has done so much for me that I am convinced of my own convictions and I have the courage to say so. That's what I believe. If nothing had happened to me, I could be any old body's dog that would take him hunting. That's what you have in a lot of AA meetings. Anybody's old dog that'll take him hunting. You hear him? Oh, shucks. It's all right. Let everybody do it. We ain't got... Yes, we do. We do. Alcoholics Anonymous is for alcoholics. Sorry. That's why it works. That's why it's the greatest recovery program in the last 20th century. Because it works for people like me, alcoholics. The book says there are all kinds of alcoholics. I believe that. Because I've said meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, see all kinds of alcoholics. Some people do these things, some people don't. Some people stay sober or run drunk, and some people don't. I don't know why that is. I think there's a difference between being sober and being undrunk. I really do. I'd rather live sober. I'd rather live just like that 12 step said. Like the 11 step said. Praying for what knowledge of God's will for me and hoping He'll give me the power to carry it out. Some days I get it, some days I don't. Some days my communication skills are very, very thin and sometimes they're very, very distant. But that don't mean that anything has changed. That just means that I've changed. Clancy says it's like tuning in a TV set or something. You've got to get the knobs correctly. That's all. You got the horizontal hold on them and all these other kind of things. When they're going over and over and over, you just turn the knob, stops. Well, that's where I am. I get to going out there. Yeah, you come and sit in a meeting, and it's just like somebody turns the horizontal zone on. Ah. God, what a great deal this is. What a great thing. You and I come and sit down And for a period of time that we spend together, whether it's one meeting or for an all-day session like we're having today, the things of the world are left behind us in the world where they belong. And somehow or other, we're given the power to this God that we've come to understand in Alcoholics Anonymous. When we leave here, our power has been rejuvenated, and we can go out there and take care of whatever little crisis comes our way. It's a fantastic thing. It's the best deal I ever had. So don't really sell this thing short. Alcoholics Anonymous is a wonderful thing. Are these the mysterious questions? So that's about, now that we've got the house built, and we're sitting by the fire, and now we've got the tools to maintain it. And I don't know what more we get, so now we'll see if we can't screw that up. What other parts of the program are there besides the spiritual part? There ain't no other parts. I've submitted to you. You know, you go to a lot of these conventions around here sometime, and they always, I was at one New Year's Day with Clancy. He was talking at what they call the tell me, which one of them is more spiritual than the other? Oh. There ain't. There ain't no spiritual side. No spiritual. It's all spiritual. How in the world can a set of spiritual principles be anything but a set of spiritual principles? I mean, they're heavy, isn't it? Oh, I see guys go, ooh, a breakthrough. How in the world would it be any more spiritual? I'm going to ask you, would it be any more spiritual to practice these principles on the road going home than it is right here? Would it be any more spiritual to practice these spiritual principles on an airplane going to Dallas tomorrow than it is right here? I didn't think so. Would it be any more spiritual to practice these spiritual principles in your home than it is right here? I don't think so. How could one thing be any more spiritual than another? It's all spiritual. If you're looking for the spiritual side, you're lost, for Christ's sakes. There ain't no spiritual side. It's all spiritual. I'm sorry. It ain't intellectual, because a guy with brain damage like me can understand most of it. And I'm not intellectual by any wild stretch of imagination, thank God. You can't think your way into right living. That's what that question is. You got to live your way into right thinking. Just wander around. Have a little faith, for Christ's sakes. Talk about faith. Do it. Faith is not sitting around somewhere saying, well, God, here I am. Do with me what you wilt. And wait for the burning bush. Faith sometimes is just getting out of bed in the morning, for Christ's sakes. And going out there and doing what you don't want to do in situations that you don't want to face. That's what faith is. God will not have to take anything to face it. What a neat deal that is. Man, just walk in there and just take it. Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. Now you got another question here that's going to irk. Why is it that people express more gratitude towards a treatment center than AA? I don't know. Maybe stupidity. Well, that's human nature, though. It's basic human nature. It really is. How many of you ever went out and bought your own car? Paid for your own car? How many of you had one given to you? Which one do you appreciate more? The one you paid for, right? Why would anybody appreciate Alcoholics Anonymous? It don't cost nothing. It's free. That's why I appreciate that. I got my money invested in that some bitch out there. Well, they got sober, I guess. That's like me saying, I appreciate the penitentiary more than I do you folks. I just can't wait to go back for another session. Every time I get in trouble, I'll call the warden. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I know it's true, though. I know it's true. I know people who... I know one guy that I love very much. He's a grandbaby of mine. A guy sponsors him. And, man, he came out of that Betty Ford Center over there in Palm Desert, which is an outside issue. And, man, he does anything in the world for Betty Ford. But you can't get him to do a goddamn thing on Thursday night at his home group. I don't know why that is. I'm glad I don't know. If you want to know the truth, I'm loyal to Alcoholics Anonymous. I think the spirit of those treatment centers have a certain spot. They get people sober. Alcoholics Anonymous does not get anybody sober. It keeps them sober. And I'll tell you, if that's where their loyalty lies, I think they might be in trouble if they're alcoholics. Because sooner or later, anything like that will fail you. Because what happens when the treatment center goes bankrupt and closes? Where will God be then? You know, I can't answer that question, but it's a good one. Have you ever questioned what God's will is for you? No. I know exactly what God's will is for me. It's the same that I have for my children. He wants me to be happy, joyous, and free. That's God's will for me. It's all. Nothing else. So, I'm happy, joyous, and free. I'm doing God's will. But I'll tell you something. I know what ain't God's will. If it's important to me personally, it's not God's will. It's my will. God's will for me is child, like it is for you, all of His children. It is for us, all of us, not just me, to be happy, joyous, and free. That's all. That's God's will for His children. And He doesn't sit around and try to teach us how to be happy, joyous, and free. He doesn't seem to teach us lessons or get us parking places or do something for us He won't do for anybody else. None of that kind of stuff. God is a very kind and lost children like us. He sends us angels to speak to us. And you and I are very fortunate to live in an era where He chose a stockbroker and a proctologist to be angels. I don't know. Somebody once said a long, long time ago that angels are nothing more than messengers of God. That's all angels are. Bill talks to us through this. Through this. He wrote this book. You know why this book was written? So the message would never be garbled. This is the message. I am the messenger. That is the program. I must try to live by it. My life, my sanity, my well-being, and all the people who come are dependent upon that. This is it. There isn't anything else. This book here, published in 1939, has changed more lives than all the combined therapy in the history of the world. And yet you have jackasses sitting in AA meetings all over the country saying it's outdated. The reason it's outdated to them is because they haven't done it. That's why it's outdated. the greatest description of the disease of alcoholism that has ever been penned in the history of mankind is in this book. It's in the doctor's opinion, written by a non-alcoholic doctor. It tells us who drinks, why they drink, what happens to them when they drink, and what must happen to them to keep them from drinking. It's in the doctor's opinion here. I urge you to look at it. Then you can make up your mind whether you're in this form of leprosy that all of us seem to have. If you're one of the lepers, one out of 10 people who are afflicted with this various form of illness, who seemingly must have some type of a spiritual awakening to overcome its malady and to protect us from insanity or death, then we have a promise for you. That having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics. It doesn't say others. It says alcoholics. And to practice these principles in all our affairs. In the original manuscript of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says others. The alcoholics told Bill, no, 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 Bill. We do not carry this message to others. We carry it to other alcoholics. And so that word was changed in the next printing. Al-Anon carries it to others, because they're the others. That doesn't make them different than we are. It doesn't make them any worse or any better or anything at all. That's their program. And they're welcome to it. But it's just 12 steps. Just like Narcotic Anonymous has their own program. Gamblers Anonymous has their own program. Overeaters Anonymous has their own program. They have Sex Anonymous now. I want to put my name on their 12-step list. That's what I want. Just I'm available to help in case you're ready to have a slip. They got all kinds of crap going on out there. They got Alcoholics Without God. Well, that's one. Alcoholics Without God. Alcoholics Without God are drinking people. Alcoholics who do not find God of their understanding and come to believe in a power greater than themselves, doomed to die drunk or insane. And of the small percentage of people who stay sober in the world, I hope it's you and I. The funny thing about this is that we're gathered up here on the 5th day of January, 1996. And never again, and never before, in the history of mankind has this group ever gathered together. And never again will we be together. If we were to have this thing tomorrow, the same group of people wouldn't be here. Some of us would be gone. Some of us would be home. Some of us would be nursing resentment somewhere. I mean, really. I mean, it's true. I mean, that's just a matter of fact. So why don't we just enjoy the moment and let this power of love that comes into Alcoholics Anonymous seep all over us. And may we live in thankful contemplation of Him who presides over us all. Thank you, and let's have another break.